Will you bow your heads with me as we seek our Lord and Savior? Gracious Heavenly Father, wonderful Holy Spirit, and our precious friend Jesus, we reach out to you now. We want to hear from you now. So speak to us, for your children are listening. And Lord, help us to be changed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. They had eaten this meal every year of their lives. Each time was meaningful. Each time reminded them of God's working in the past. But this meal would be like none of the others before. And this would be like no other meal that would come after. For this meal would be Jesus' last food before fighting the greatest battle ever. This Passover meal and the events to follow would forever change the lives of the disciples. And that very meal, the Last Supper of Jesus, still affects our lives today. On the other side of the planet, thousands of years later, a simple meal that Jesus ate can teach us about God if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. But to do that, we have to take a look inside. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to read someone else's mind? Have you ever thought about that? To know what someone was thinking even though they didn't tell you? I know there's probably some husbands out here today who'd think that'd be kind of a nice tool to have every now and then. They're shaking their heads, yeah. Kind of be a neat trick to have. But we don't. We can't read someone else's mind. But here in this story, the Apostle John wants to make sure that we are looking into a couple of the characters' minds at this Last Supper. And as we look into these two minds, we're going to learn something about God, and it will also reveal to us how we should live today. John chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 1. So if you have your Bibles there, I'd like to invite you to open them up to John chapter 13 and verse 1, or if you've got it on your phone or iPad, open it up. Find your way into the Gospel of John chapter 13, an amazing story. And let's find out what's going on in these minds of these characters. John chapter 13, verse 1. And it says, "Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." What does Jesus know, according to John? Just look at this verse. What does he know? No. He knew that his time was running out. Jesus knows that the shadow of the cross is looming before him, and there's not much time left. What else does he know as he sits down to eat? Let's look for that word "know" as we're reading. Come along with me to verse 3 now. It says, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God, and was going to God." So what else does he know? He knows his time is short, and he knows where he came from. There's no delusions to Jesus. He knows exactly where he came from. He knows what his mission is. He knew his purpose. There's no confusion here for Jesus. John wants us. Can you see? He says, this is going on in Jesus' mind. I want you to see that. He's opening up these characters' heads so we can see. What else does Jesus know? Come down to verse 10. Jesus said to Peter, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean." What does Jesus know? He knew that his betrayer was sitting at the table with him that day. Jesus is not surprised by this upcoming betrayal. Many books or movies or stories that you hear today, they always have the main character, the good guy in the story. He's going along, he's doing things through the plot, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's a twist. And he's betrayed by the bad guy in the story, who all of a sudden has betrayed him. At one point in time, the bad guy appeared to be a friend, and then the good guy is shocked to learn of this betrayal. That's how most stories go today. But not in this story. Not for Jesus. He's not shocked. He's not surprised. Because you and I cannot know what's in someone else's mind. But Jesus does. There's no fooling him. He knows what's going on. So now let's look into another person's mind who sits at this meal. Another look inside to see evil revealed. You see, John would make a terrible writer or director today in Hollywood, because most writers will save their shocking twist till the end of the story, till the climactic end, but not John. He gives away the twist before it even happens. John chapter 13 and verse 2. Chapter 13 and verse 2 says, "And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." So now we get to see inside someone else's head who's sitting here for this meal. He tells us the devil has given Judas this idea to betray Jesus. In fact, John tells the reader about Judas early on in his gospel. In fact, every time he mentions Judas, he makes sure to tell you that this is the betrayer. In John chapter 6, verse 71, he spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him. That's all the way in chapter 6. And then in chapter 12, again, whenever John mentions Judas, he makes sure you know that this is the one who would betray Jesus. He doesn't hold this back. He wants you to know it. Every time he mentions Judas. So, as he eats that night with Jesus, Judas is thinking of betraying his master. So why is it important for us to look inside these two minds, to know what's going on in Jesus' mind and in Judas' mind? Because, friends, when we know what they know, we are shocked by what they do. I once heard a very haunting song years ago. Most of you know my background of being a rock and roll DJ. I've heard lots of songs in my time. And I heard this one. It's not a common one. It was written by Bob Dylan. Amazing songwriter. Very gifted. Not the most gifted singer in the world, but an amazing songwriter. And he wrote a song called "With God on Our Side." And I heard that song, and one lyric really hit me. One lyric, and it really made me think. He sang that lyric. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to sing it for you today. But if there ever was a singer that I could sing like, it was probably Dylan. But he sang the lyric, and part of that song says, "I can't think for you. You'll have to decide whether Judas Iscariot had God on his side." And as I heard that lyric, it just struck me like lightning. Whoa. What was Judas merely a pawn? Did God care about Judas? Did Jesus care about him? Well, friends, let's read on and see if we can answer Dylan's question. Let's go back to John chapter 13 and verse 2. Verse 2 says, "And supper being ended." John lets us know that the supper is over. So who's present now when the supper has ended? When Jesus' last supper has ended, who's present? All of them, right? All the disciples are there, including Judas. Jesus ate with his betrayer. He didn't say to him, "You step on out of here." He let him stay. In verse 5, Jesus begins to wash the disciples' feet. Who's present? All of them. Again, they're all still there. He could have said to Judas, you know what, this is not for you. This is time for you to go. But he doesn't. Jesus washes Judas's feet. He washes his betrayer's feet. Now remember, friends, that's why it's important you know what Jesus is thinking. Jesus knows what Judas is planning. He knows what's going on in his mind. But even with that look inside, Jesus eats with Judas. He washes his feet. Why? Why would he do that? Well, I think because there's two important reasons that I can come up with of why Jesus would do this to Judas, a man planning to betray him. Two reasons. Number one, because Jesus practices what he preaches. Amen? And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus said, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Jesus Christ lives what he preaches. That's number one. The second reason why Jesus does these actions to Judas, because Jesus never gives up. He doesn't give up. He doesn't give up on a friend. 3 years, Jesus had kept Judas as part of their company, constantly reaching out to him. John chapter 12, verse 4, John tells us that Judas would keep their money box and that he was a thief. He was actually stealing money from their collective box together. And Jesus knew this, but he didn't send Judas away. And now this story, the Last Supper, begins. And Judas has this idea, the devil's idea, circling in his head to betray him. And while that's there, Jesus doesn't give up. There's still time. There's still a chance to help his friend. Christ doesn't send Judas away before the supper. He eats with him. Jesus doesn't send Judas away before the foot washing. Instead, he kneels before his betrayer. He looks him in the eye, and he washes Judas's feet. Jesus is desperate to do everything he can to turn Judas, until finally, John chapter 13, verse 26. Jesus answered and said, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." See, John has asked him, who's the betrayer? And he says, it's the one that I give bread to. Having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. See, he offered Judas a piece of dipped bread. And for some reason, this was the moment. You never know when your moment is going to come. But this was the exact moment for Judas. This was his last chance to fall before his Savior, to confess his evil plans. And as Jesus was washing his feet, in his heart he was thinking, what am I doing? But then he made his choice. And he hardened his heart. And he said, no. No, he can't be the king if he's going to do something like this. Judas hardens his heart to Jesus, and he opens his heart wide for Satan. And Satan steps in. In verse 27, "Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him." Satan takes full control of him. Judas has made his choice now to be lost. And then, and only then, does Jesus finally say, "What you do, do quickly." Jesus knew what was happening, but he did everything he could to save a friend. You say, "Pastor, how do you know? You keep calling Judas a friend of Jesus. How do you know that he was a friend?" Well, I listened to Jesus' testimony. Because in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 50, when Judas comes with all the others to betray him, he goes up and he gives Jesus a kiss. And in verse 50, Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Even at the very act of betrayal, Jesus calls Judas friend. How do we treat our friends? How do we treat those who are mean to us? My friends, Jesus is the most radical teacher that's ever walked this planet. His teaching is life-changing. It'd be much easier if he just gave us a list of do's and don'ts. These are the things you do, these are the things you don't do, but he doesn't do that. Instead, Jesus says, love, which is a lot harder. And he clarifies it. He says, love the jerks. Love the cruel. Love those who are mean to you, who persecute you. Love your friends, even if they turn on you. Jesus had been Judas's friend up to the very end. Did everything he could. So now we know the answer for Bob Dylan. And for all of us who may wonder or question God's love, God was on Judas's side. Christ did everything he could do to save a friend, to save Judas, to save a thief, a liar, and a betrayer, even though Judas finally chose to be lost. But what we celebrate today at this foot washing service, what we celebrate today at this communion service, is that our God calls us, calls all of us, friend. And Jesus reaches out to each of us today. As our feet are washed today, he reaches out to you. As that bread is handed to you today, Christ reaches out and he says, "You're my friend. And I want you to be my forever friend." But the decision is ours. Jesus would not force Judas, and he will not force you. Jesus Christ, friend of sinners, friend of a betrayer, wants to be our friend forever. But the choice to believe in Christ, the choice to follow him, the choice to be his friend in return is always ours to make. Let us pray. Our loving Lord Jesus, again we see your amazing love. Lord, we want to love like you, but we can't do it on our own. We want to be like you, Lord. So as you reach out to us now in this service, may we reach back. May we grab your hand and accept you as our friend. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.